They have no speech. They use no words. No sound is heard from them. Yet their voice goes out to all the earth, their words to the ends of the world. And so we're joining in that song and the song that heaven's constantly celebrating with as we join in worship. So let's stand together and, worship our awesome God.
So God, we thank you, Lord, for your beautiful presence that's with us today. What a joy it is that we get to gather together as one corporately to experience you, to hear from you, to be mutually encouraged, to encourage one another. And as we hear from Melanie what you've placed in her heart today, we pray for Melanie. Lord, would she know how precious she is to you, how you have wired her, and that you use her in that way to be fully Melanie. And Lord, we pray that she would just know the confidence and the authority she has because she's in you, Lord Jesus. And Father, I do pray for us. Lord, may our hearts and our minds be soft and open to you, Holy Spirit, to receive from you what it is you want to plant in us, Lord, to grow, that we may all be more like you, Lord Jesus. And we give you all the glory and thanks in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you very much. I'll set myself up. Beautiful. All right. Let's see if we're on today. We are turned on. I have a lot of red lights, though. I may need assistance, please. Okay. You may have seen this one in the newsletter or on Facebook here and there. It did say working on waiting. But as I've worked through what I'm going to share today, I don't think it's working on waiting, because we're always waiting for something. And we're always waiting on God. So I actually think there's a part of it, the waiting, we are actively waiting. We are participating with God in our waiting. And so we're working in waiting. A number of weeks ago, Maria and To invited all of us to pray during this time of waiting for Marion Vineyard about what next and how to. And so today is a bit about what I heard. I shared it with To and Maria, and they invited me to share it with you. God led me very specifically to James chapter 5, verse 7. Be patient, therefore, brothers, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, being patient about it until he receives the early and the late rains. So I had a read of this, pondered it for a little while, and I asked a question that I find myself asking a lot lately. So what? That's my layman's way of engaging with P-R-A-Y. I pause, I reflect, and I ask God some questions, and I yield to him with what he shares with me. So what was highlighted is the early and the latter rains. So I took a tangent and I investigated what these actually mean for farmers. This is about this is a farming analogy. I'm not a farmer. I have a lot of people in my family who have worked the land. I am not one of them. I don't fully understand this, so I had a look at it. I discovered in the times that this verse was written, the early rain is called the Yore. This rain, for us, we would receive this somewhere April to May. It softens the soil after a harsh summer, and it's the signal to the farmers that they need to start ploughing their land, turn it over, get it ready, and sow. And the rain continues to fall through the winter months. And this rain that falls over winter is essential for the farmers to have their crops grow. And then they have the late rains. It's starting to get warm again, but it rains again. These are called malkosh. This is when the crops start to ripen. And then, of course, we head into the summer months where the ripening finalises, the harvest becomes ready, and there are months of dry, hot summer. So in Australia, this time of rain between early rain and latter rain is somewhere between 6 and 8 months. I thought, well, that's kind of cool. Farmers have to do all this work and they sit back and relax for 6 to 8 months. No. They don't sit idly and wait. There's actually quite a number of things that they need to get done in these 6 to 8 months. The first of these is that the crops that they've planted are hungry. They're hungry for nutrients, but the heavier the rainfall in the winter months, the more the nutrients in the soil actually wash out. So they need a bit of a boost. Go along and you fertilise them. Of course, it depends on what sort of farm you're running. If you like to run a chemically enhanced farm, you would probably throw some chemicals on there and enhance them. If you're not, you've probably thought out ways of planting in such a way that you have a little bit more sustainability and don't need the chemicals. The next is weed management. Rain, of course, makes crops grow. It also helps the weeds to grow. So, the weeds need to be dealt with. Again, depending on the type of farm you have, you may actually employ people to go along and handpick the weeds. That would be a lot if you owned thousands and thousands of acres. You may decide to put chemicals on your land, and that kills off the weeds but helps your plants to grow. Again, I'm not the expert, but there are various ways the weeds need dealing with. You get onto it. Then there's some general land management. If you're not out in the field itself managing and tending to the crops, there's a lot of other things that need tending to as well. In readiness for the hot, dry season that's coming, and it will come. You need to keep the grass by the roadside down. It helps with bushfires. We know those well in Australia. There's machinery maintenance. Everything needs a good oil, a good grease up, and a good tending to. There's tree felling. You get a lot of trees that grow in the dryness in summer. Again, in Australia, gum trees often have dangerous limbs. Farmers are proactive in going out and felling what needs to be felled in order to keep both animals safe and people. Fence maintenance. Straightforward. Drainage. Some paddocks get pretty boggy. You need to make sure that actually there's good drainage. Sometimes, I know this one, cow run. That's the bit between your paddocks where you open up a gate and you push the cows through and they run from one spot to another and you get them through to another paddock. That also needs good drainage because you don't want your cows getting infected hooves because they've run through sloshy, sloppy, gross. You may have roads on your farm that also need to be graded. So if you've ever come along a dirt road and it's this beautiful flat road, you know, the rocks are spread over to the edges, you know it's been graded. If you've been along and you're bouncing around like this, you know that's probably time for a grader to come along and smooth out the road again. Dealing with last year's harvest that is left over in your stores. This is probably a bit of an old one, but if there's massive granaries around the place, this is probably one that would put this into perspective for you. Last year's grain harvest goes into storehouses. You've probably seen the beautiful ones around Australia that are beautifully painted. If you haven't, jump online and have a look. Or go for a long drive. What's left of last year's grain that has not been sold and has not been used actually needs to be dealt with. You can't put new grain in with the old grain. So you need to move it on. It might be that you need to sell it at a much lower price just to get rid of it. There's all sorts of ways to deal with that leftover grain, but it needs to be done. Crop scouting. This is a fancy term that I found for something that a number of people have explained to me. If you've ever had a veggie patch or a flower patch that you have planted and tended yourself, you'll get this. Do you plant your beautiful flowers or the seeds for your veggies and walk away for 6 to 8 months and never look at them again? I would say no. Because if you do that, you don't actually know if bugs are eating all your crops. You don't know if they're getting mildewy and they've gone off. If you've ever planted beans, I have that problem all the time. You go out and you check. You never leave them untended. You do this frequently, heading out into the paddocks, different paddocks, because when you're talking thousands of acres, you can have different seasons in four paddocks. You go out and check all your crops. You need to check plant health. You check for soil erosion, water drainage, pest control, knowing when to harvest. There's training. There is a harvest out there. But you need people during harvest to actually do the harvesting. Who are you going to employ to do it? If you've already got your team, well and good. But as your team gets older, you need new harvesters to come in. This is the time to train them. In this 6 to 8 months where it's wet and rainy, you get them out onto the tractors, you teach them how to use a tractor. If they're not using a tractor, you teach them how to use a truck. Because at harvest time, there are different jobs. And depending on what you've been trained in and what you know how to do, that will make a difference as to what you get to participate in come harvest time. Because you have to have the right skill set. And of course, there's family time. These 6 to 8 months, there is a bit of downtime. And you have the opportunity to spend more time with your close-knit family and friends, spending time loving on one another. For those of you who are not farmers in the room and haven't had any experience with it whatsoever, I do need to flag that harvest time is intense. It necessitates 14 to 15 hour long days in the field. You get up before the sun is up. Remember our summers, we have daylight savings. How early does the sun come up? 5:30? You're up before that and out in the field starting. You go until you're done. That might be 11 o'clock at night. You go back, you sleep, and you do it all again tomorrow. You may be doing it on only 4 or 5 hours sleep. So, all of these things are done together and individually. They are planned, they are allocated, and they are shared. Let's go back to James 5:7. Be patient. The crops don't ripen straight away. Be patient until the coming of the Lord. The Lord is coming back. We are assured of that. He is coming back. There is a harvest. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, being patient about it until it receives the early and the late rains. I want to posit here that this sort of metaphor and the verses surrounding this particular verse are about the ages of the kingdom. Before Christ, the new age, the inaugurated kingdom, where Jesus has come and said, the kingdom is at hand, it is here. And we are now in a spiritual battle, the time of rains. And at the end of the age, when Christ returns and we enter eternity are the late rains. It's the end of the age. However, I do believe that this sort of thing can actually be applied to us individually and corporately as well. We know that there is a harvest and that it's ripe now. But how do we as a fellowship then respond in the midst of that? We felt broadly here at Marion, for those who have been praying and have been sharing together, that we're in a time of waiting on the Lord. But there is a season coming where we will be very busy in the harvest field. So, we need labourers. In Luke, Jesus was speaking. He says, so after the Lord appointed the 72 others and sent them out ahead of him, two by two, into every town and place where he himself was about to go, he said to them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the labourers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out labourers into this harvest." So what does it look like then in James 5:7 for us to actually be patient in relation to this? What is it that we corporately and individually are doing while we're waiting on the Lord to know what the next step is for us to get into the harvest field in a bigger way than we already are? How are we working in the waiting? So let's read on from verse 7. So the highlight of the bold part there, "You also be patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. Behold, we consider those blessed who remained steadfast. We have heard of the steadfastness of Job, and you have seen the purpose of the Lord, how the Lord is compassionate and more merciful." And in Hosea, "Sow righteousness for yourselves. Reap the fruit of unfailing love. Break up your unploughed ground, for it is time to seek the Lord until he comes and showers his righteousness on you." So with those things said, keep those verses in the back of your mind. I'm going to take you back to the farming. We need to establish our hearts. We need to get some nutrients in. Okay? As Christians, we should be hungry for the word. Let's get into it. Training. It's a time of training. Training others, getting people alongside of us and training with them, but also to receive training ourselves. For each one of us, that may look different, but we need to practice listening to the Spirit, stepping into what the Spirit is calling us to do. We have weed management. We need to allow the renewing of our mind through the Holy Spirit. Let's get rid of some of those bad habits that we have. Let Holy Spirit help us to work on those bad habits so that we are in a better place to hear him when we go out into the harvest field. We need to deal with the old harvests, the stuff that's left over, the lies of the enemy that are left over in our life from before we knew Jesus. Even sometimes when we know Jesus, people are speaking lies over us. We need to recognize them. We need to know them. And we need to stand against them. Let's deal with the old stuff. Then we need to remain steadfast. We're going to do some crop scouting. Stand in the truth. Let's grow strong in our faith. We're going to have some family time. Let's get together. Church togetherness. Let's pray together, worship together. Be together in life groups. Let's sing psalms to one another, like we talked about last week. And then we want to know the purpose of the Lord. Well, that comes when we are in relationship with Him. And really, all of that gets us into that, into deeper relationship with Him. So prior to James 5:7, there's this warning that is spoken of to the rich. To the people who store up treasures in the last days and don't put in the necessary labour. So when I pondered on that, because, you know, it's great to take the one verse, but I thought, well, how does the bit earlier apply as well? We actually need to put in some hard yards. It's great when we know Jesus. It's great to have that relationship, but all relationships need us to put in something. We need to actually meet with God. We need to be getting into the Word. We need to be praying. We need to be fellowshipping. So as we pray as a fellowship in this time of waiting about what next and how to, let's not one of us sit back and do nothing in preparation for the coming of Jesus. There is a ripe harvest out there. But each of us individually have got a role to establish our hearts, to sow righteousness, to remain steadfast, to know the purposes of the Lord. Let's get out in those paddocks and tend to what is needed now. The call to make disciples, the training up of others, to know the Word, to pray, to be generous, to learn, and to be together as one body. It's not any one person's role, but each one's role within the broader church and within our own community at Marion Vineyard, if you're someone who attends here regularly. So really what I got when I prayed about what now and how to is an encouragement. Let's be working in our time of waiting. Let's be active in seeking God. Would you let me pray for you? Holy Spirit, thank you that we are not left to our own devices to do anything for our God. Father, thank you that you have given us the gift of Holy Spirit who renews our hearts and minds. Thank you for your Word, Father, that we can delve deep into it with you, that we can talk about it with one another, that we can learn through it with one another. And through your Holy Spirit. Father, today, would you whisper to each one of us in our quiet moments with you what it is that we each can be doing to be working in our waiting? To make it personal, Lord, what can I do to know you better, to fellowship better, to be prepared to enter the harvest fields so that I am trained in some way that is going to make me even more effective than I am in this moment now? Because I'll never know enough, Lord. Would you teach me? Lord, teach us as a community. And would you show us the next step? We bless you, Lord. We bless you and thank you for bringing us together today. In Jesus' name.
Following on from that, let's worship. So would you like to stand with me? This next couple songs, yes, have aspects about that waiting time. So ask God to show you what He's saying through this.